Hello, everyone. I'm Jim Paymar, and you are listening to The Big Shift, the podcast that looks at the massive changes our country and the world are confronting. Today, we're looking into attacks on democracy. Many world powers have shifted toward autocracy with strongman leaders, Putin in Russia, Xi in China, Erdogan in Turkey, el-Sisi in Egypt, America with Trump back in 2016, and Viktor Orban in Hungary. There's been keen interest with Orban in America among Republicans who applaud his support of white Christian values. Orban was invited to speak at the Conservative Political Action Conference in Dallas, known as CPAC. Tucker Carlson, before he was fired by Fox, produced a documentary about Orban and also hosted a show from Budapest. Former Vice President Mike Pence visited Hungary for a conference on conservative values. Joining us to discuss Viktor Orban, his relationship with the Republicans, and his autocratic rule is George Lazar, who was born in Hungary but has lived in the U.S. since 1980. Lazar worked in the computer science field for major American companies, including nearly 20 years as a director at PricewaterhouseCoopers, the global accounting and consulting firm. Lazar now writes about Hungarian politics and visits Hungary very frequently. That's where he grew up. He resides now in the San Francisco Bay Area. George, welcome to The Big Shift. Glad you could make the time today.
Thanks, Jim, for inviting me, and I am very happy to join your program.
Good, George. You know, Orban has fascinated many in America with his right-wing leadership, stripping away at democratic institutions, including the press, the courts, opposition political parties, attacks against the LGBTQ community, and immigrants who he believes are creating a mixed race society. You visit Hungary often. What and why is this happening?
Well, that is a good question. It is happening in the last decade. Actually, he's in power since 2010, second times. Mm-hmm. This is in the last 13 years or so. By the way, he just turned 60, and he's a grandfather. So he's relatively young. And he turned the country slowly but surely into an autocracy. He calls it illiberal democracy. I call it dictatorship. His Viktor with a K. Mm-hmm. And, it's a special Hungarian type autocracy. And he was successful doing that. As you mentioned, he chipped away the powers of the courts. He controls the media, most of the media, and also cozied up with some of the right-wing, even far-right forces in Europe and here in the U.S.
You know, George, this drift toward Viktor Orban from the American right wing. I read one statement that said, Orban was Trump before there was Trump. Both men seem to appeal to the grievances occurring in both nations, attacking democratic institutions, supporting white Christian nationalism, and seizing more power in the executive. Do you see parallels between the two leaders?
I do, although there are major differences. I mean, one area, clearly, the immigration, where they both are on the same wavelength. Orban is a little bit stricter, so to speak. Hungary has no immigration, basically. Mm-hmm. And he considers the immigrants, specifically from the Middle East or Africa, these people want to flood Europe. They mm-hmm. want to flood mm-hmm. white Christian Europe. So he sees that the danger. But the difference is that another issue where Orban is very strong is the LGBTQ legislations and also the propaganda. Mm-hmm. He considers gender and LGBTQ as a propaganda. So mm-hmm. he doesn't consider it as an issue. And even in his party, there are no gays, there are no gay appointees. They don't even know party. So that's a difference.
Orban has had a long association with the Republican Party. After he lost an election for the prime minister's office back in 2002, he then hired Arthur Finkelstein, a longtime Republican lobbyist and pollster, to help revive his political fortunes. And his connection to the Republicans stretched into the Trump presidency with the backing of strategist Steve Bannon and Hungarian-born Sebastian Gorka, who was a former deputy assistant to the ex-president. How and why this GOP alliance between Orbán and America's right wing?
Well, on one hand, there is similarities in ideology, obviously. The second, there was a Hungarian connection, so to speak. And I think it was George Pataki, the ex-governor of the state, the great state of New York, a Republican who is Hungarian. His father is Hungarian, and actually he has relatives in Hungary. He doesn't speak Hungarian. Finkelstein worked for Pataki, also worked for Benjamin Netanyahu, the Israeli prime minister, who Orban keeps a close and friendly contact. And I think that was the way Finkelstein got a contract from Orban, and he had a pivotal role, actually, to develop strategies so Orban won the election in 2010. That's one area. And also another Hungarian connection is Sebastian Gorka, who was hired by Bannon at Breitbart. And that's how that association started.
And then that went all the way into the Trump administration.
Yeah, Bannon brought him to the White House.
Now, when we previously spoke on the phone, you said that Orban is very popular in the capital region of Budapest, where some 3 million people live, almost a third of Hungary's population of 10 million. But in the areas of the country that are more rural and industrial, he has a great deal of support. It sounds similar to America with our red and blue states.
Yes, it is very similar. Orban would lose the election if he would have to rely on Budapest and surroundings, the electorate there. But he won the election because two-thirds of the country is in the countryside, where he has a virtual grip on the electorate. No, the reason is that Orban is very folksy, and he projects this image that he's one of the people. For example, one of the issues he fought for is Palinka. Palinka is a Hungarian brandy, which is home distilled. And he fought at the EU that Hungarians got an exception that they can distill this brandy at home, up to 50 liters, tax-free per year. Mm-hmm. Another thing, for example, what he does is pig slaughtering. In Hungary, in rural areas, in January, February, in wintertime, they generally slaughter a pig. Mm-hmm. And the EU had reservations about it, you know, food safety and so on and so on. Orban fought to keep this tradition as a Hungarian one. But this is true not only to Hungary, but in Slovakia and Romania. But he himself actually distributes a video of himself cutting the pig. You know? So he presents as this very folksy, one of the people image of him.
Kind of a populist.
It's an understatement, yes.
George, Orban has been in and out of power in Hungary for some 17 years now. Yeah. He was just elected to a fourth term last year. And when he was first elected, though, from what I've read, he seemed somewhat liberal, was he not? And how and why did he gravitate to the right?
He was very liberal. In fact, his famous speech in 1989, which propelled him into the attention of the people of Hungary, this was a speech which he gave at a funeral, as a re-funeral of a hero of the 56th Revolution. He actually had a liberal, a fresh Hungarian start, a way of looking at politics. Gradually, he moved to the nationalist line, And later, when he was already prime minister in the 2010s, around 2014-15, he moved even further to the right in order to capture the far-right constituency, who basically supported Jobbik, the Hungarian's neo-fascist party, which which was basically decimated under his rule, and basically he holds that those votes today.
Yeah, it's kind of like a political strategy. He shifted from left to right. I mean, even Trump used to contribute to the Democratic Party, and then he becomes this right-wing extremist. It sounds very similar. Now, you've written a number of articles in the Hungarian press about Orbán. You've criticized him for being anti-Semitic, racist, and homophobic. You apparently pushed for a public boycott against one of his ministers who was going to make a presentation at the University of California at the Berkeley campus.
Yes.
Is there a movement in Hungary and among expats like yourself to slow Orbán's moves toward total dictatorship?
You know, one of the problems what the expats or Americans of Hungarian origin has, they don't speak the language. In the U.S., according to census data, there are approximately 1.4 million Americans with Hungarian roots, but only about 100,000 can speak Hungarian. The language is a major barrier. Ironically, most Hungarian Americans vote for the Democratic Party. Traditionally, they are Democrats, almost 60% or over 60%. At the same time, I think the tide is turning here in the United States. More and more Hungarian Americans understand what is happening in Budapest, understand the logic behind Orbán's rule and his ideology. And it would be hard for a Hungarian immigrant in this country endorse Orbán, who is anti-immigrant.
Right. What about in Hungary itself, though? I mean, he just won a fourth election. Is there a growing opposition to this authoritarian trajectory that he's on?
It is. The issue is, and the problem is, that his opposition is fragmented. There are many small parties. They try to unite, but they can't really come up with a common platform. I think gradually it will change, specifically with the youth vote. Orbán is worried that he has very little support in the under 20 crowd, and even among the under 25 crowd. He is in trouble, quote unquote, on the long run, but it will take time.
The European Parliament in Brussels, and Hungary is part of the EU, recently approved a resolution questioning Hungary's ability to lead a key EU policymaking council in 2024. It really is a sign, I think, of friction between Hungary's track record of maintaining a democratic government. The EU is also withholding billions in funds from Hungary over accusations that the country failed to implement required rule of law reforms under Orbán. It seems, from sitting where I sit, that the squeeze is on by the EU to get Orbán to backtrack on his slide toward autocracy. What do you think?
I agree. What you mentioned is the rotating presidency of the EU, what Orbán, Hungary, should get in the second half of 2024. If Orbán won't get what he really would like to get, the funds, the rotating presidency, and so on and so on, I have a feeling that his party and his supporters will push for a so-called Huxit, which would be a Brexit-type exit from the European Union. More and more articles are published in Hungary, specifically from the right, that Hungary should leave the European Union. Mm-hmm. I personally think that this would be a very, very tough act for Hungary, but it could happen.
George, I just looking out at the big global horizon, I don't think many Americans know a great deal about Hungary. I didn't realize, for example, that the landlocked country in Eastern Europe is bordered by seven different countries, including Ukraine. And it's had a very difficult century, part of the Austro-Hungarian Empire until the end of World War I, declared independence only in 1918, which is not that long ago, 105 years ago. During World War II, Hungary aligned with Nazi Germany, was involved in the occupation of several neighboring countries. Germany then invaded and occupied Hungary in 1944 because of Hungarian attempts to negotiate with the Allies for an armistice. Hungary was liberated by the Soviet Red Army in 1945. Then a Soviet-inspired communist puppet government was installed. And when the Soviet Union collapsed in 1989, Hungary became a multi-party democratic state. Now, with both fascist and communist dictatorships in its past, how have the people of Hungary allowed themselves to devolve again toward autocracy?
One rhetoric, which actually this is Orban's favorite explanation. The question comes up that here is Hungary, which was occupied by the Russians, by the Soviet Union in 1956, crushed a bloody revolution in Hungary. And today, Orban is basically supporting President Putin in the war in Ukraine. Orban's Hungary is not willing to support militarily Ukraine. In fact, Hungary wouldn't even let supplies to Ukraine through Hungary. At the same time, Hungary let in, at least in the past, hundreds of thousands of Ukrainian refugees. But most of these refugees don't stay in Hungary. Mm-hmm. They travel through. They are in Hungary only for a couple of hours. Only 30,000 or so Ukrainians actually stayed in Hungary, Ukrainian refugees. Many of them actually Hungarian origin. They have Hungarian, some of them have Hungarian passports also. So what he says that the Soviet Empire was a different empire than Putin's Russia. Mm-hmm. And Putin as a strong man is running a country which is ultimately will prevail in Ukraine. He believes that it's insane to have any kind of resistance to Putin, who has nuclear weapons.
It's hard to understand how Hungary, which was dominated by the Soviets for over 40 years, is now again tilting toward an aggressive Russia and not aligning with NATO and the EU. I mean, as you mentioned, Orban has not been a supporter of Western efforts to help Ukraine fight Russia's brutally aggressive attack to take over that country. And he's fought against implementing sanctions on Russia for the attack on Ukraine. I mean, from the Hungarian point of view, is this all about energy, or are there other factors at play besides the nukes that you mentioned in Orban's relationship with Putin?
Well, one of the things he brings up, the Hungarian minority in Ukraine, that Ukraine is not treating well, specifically a language law which Ukraine approved. The problem is that Ukraine has Romanian and Polish minorities at the same time, and this language law affects them also. At the same time, Romania and Poland fully supports, militarily also support Ukraine. And to add, Hungary is the only country in the EU not supporting Ukraine. Not only not supporting, but they are not willing to approve Sweden's applications to NATO. Mm-hmm, they are resisting together with Turkey. Turkey is also away. Orban developed a close relation with Erdogan in Turkey. So they are playing a little bit of a bad boy, but this is going beyond the bad boy of the EU and NATO, clearly supporting the efforts of Putin. At least the Ukrainian leadership blamed Orban for openly blaming.
Do you think that Orban is afraid of a Russian attack or further moves by Putin into Hungary itself?
I don't think so. I don't think so. And I don't think that ideology or fear plays into these. I think it's more a strong belief of Orban that the West, as he calls, is basically the power of the West is over, specifically the United States. He actually listed in a private conversation the United States as a potential adversary of Hungary. And he strongly believes that the Putin relationship with China, a new kind of relationship there or access will prevail on the long run. China also has a close relationship with Hungary, and Chinese investments are pouring in today to Hungary.
It's kind of squeezed in a vise, isn't it? Russia, China, and NATO and the EU on the other side. And seems like he's hedging his bets.
Not the first time in history. I mean, in the last century, Hungary's pro-Hitler dictator, Miklos Horthy, in the last year, in 1944, wrote a letter to Stalin, practically begging for a peace with a peace offer, and called him the great general. So, you know, Hungarians and Hungarian leaders will switch alliances in a dime.
What about Orban's worldview? He's said to be anti-globalist. He's critical of the EU. For the past year, he's waged an increasingly anti-Semitic campaign against billionaire George Soros, painting the Hungarian-born American businessman as an evil Jewish force, pushing Hungary in the wrong direction. This despite the fact that Orban received a scholarship from the Soros Foundation for his education at Oxford University back in 1989.
True. Not only he received a fellowship, but most of his government, many of his government received Soros fellowship. The Soros issue is, you know, Soros is Hungarian born. He speaks Hungarian. And actually, he met Orban and they know each other. It became a common enemy of Putin and Orban. And also, he got the blessing in the anti-Soros quest from Benjamin Netanyahu from Israel. So basically, when he posted tens of thousands of posters of Soros in Budapest, I myself saw about 50 Soros posters in the Budapest subway next to each other, depicting him as the number one enemy of Hungary. It's frightening.
They've made Soros into the bogeyman. I mean, Soros hit back. He had a speech in Brussels in which he referred to the Hungarian government as a mafia state and said Orban sought to frame his policies as a personal conflict between the two and made Soros a target of this unrelenting propaganda campaign.
It is ironic that there are other anti-West movements in Europe, in other countries, but the Soros campaign, the anti-Soros campaign, and especially the speed and the amount of money they spend on this campaign is unprecedented.
Mm-hmm. You know, looking back in time and where Hungary is today and this whole movement, kind of an anti-Semitic movement, there was a party in Hungary, the Arrow Cross Party, which aligned with the Nazis in the 1940s, murdered thousands of civilians after seizing power, including many Jews. 80,000 people were deported from Hungary to concentration camps in Austria, like right off the bat. And when the Germans invaded and occupied Hungary during the spring and summer of 1944, some 440,000 Jews were deported from Hungary to death camps by the Nazis.
Yes.
With the enthusiastic assistance of the Hungarian Interior Ministry, has Hungary ever tried to make amends for the atrocities or apologies to the Jewish people like the German state has?
Orban approached it very differently. He says the Hungarian state failed. The state failed. The Hungarian bureaucracy failed. But he never, ever admitted or acknowledged that there was a systematic anti-Semitic propaganda during the Horthy administration for Nicholas Horthy. In fact, he stated that Horthy, the pro-Hitler dictator of Hungary at that time, was a great statesman. So, and today there are statues, countless of statues of Horthy and also other even convicted war criminals, World War II criminals in Hungary. And he praises them as, he and his administration praises them as great Hungarians. So it is he rewrites history, basically. He tries to, and he attempts to, not only in Hungary, but here in the United States, using the Hungarian diaspora to change facts the way it happened in the last century and even in this century.
It sounds a lot like the cancel culture movement here in the United States.
It is.
Very similar. But getting back to Putin for a moment, Orbán's chief of staff recently said that Hungary would not arrest Putin if he came to the country, despite the fact that Hungary has signed on to the Rome Statute that created the International Criminal Court, which issued an arrest warrant for the Russian leader for alleged war crimes in Ukraine. Why the support for Putin when he and the world can see how he savaged Ukraine? I mean, just look at the flooding that's taking place, you know, with the destruction of this dam just this week.
Correct. Yeah. It is the Putin-Orban love affair. It's hard to explain. In fact, it's hard to explain for most Hungarians. They accept it. And they think, because Russia has significant investments in Hungary. In fact, Russia is building a nuclear power plant right now in Hungary. They have a contract, which is totally insane, since Hungary is a NATO member and NATO is opposing and the EU also sanctioned Russia. There are very strong economic ties, and I think deep down the Hungarians relate better to Russia's mafia economy than in a transparent Western relationship. In fact, some of the Western companies are complaining today that the relationships, the economic relationships, are non-transparent, what the Hungarian government demands from them.
This goes beyond just the need for Russian gas and oil and fuel.
It goes well beyond. It goes well beyond. There are a lot of Russians, a lot of Russian tycoons, living in Hungary, oligarchs who got Hungarian citizenship or bought Hungarian citizenship. Hungarian's top bank, OTP, which is a bank, was owned by a Russian, partially owned by a Russian oligarch. It operates in Russia. In fact, Hungary's top bank today is on the list of banks supporting the activities of illegally supporting activities of Russia. The Ukraine considers them as a supporter of the war.
If the war goes against Russia, and if the Ukrainians somehow are able to pull off a miracle and push the Russians back across the Ukrainian border, including Crimea, do you feel that Orbán, just as a political animal, will shift the other way and attempt for closer ties with the West?
No doubt in my mind. In fact, he might be the first one to say that he always supported the war against Putin. So I think he's willing to change positions depending on the political wind. And actually, it's possible that this is his strategy, that he might be expecting some rewards for switching. Some say might be this is his strategy by stretching the time approving the Swedish membership in NATO, because he said already, oh, we approved it and we support it, but the we couldn't call the committee and it takes time while we get together the paperwork.
So lots of bureaucratic excuses, correct?
Yes, correct.
Well, what about the continued relationship with Orbán and the conservative right wing here in America. Is that staying together? Do you see that becoming stronger? I mean, what's going on behind the scenes as far as you know?
Well, you know, it is very interesting. Orban endorsed Trump. In fact, he came to the United States in 2022, and this was very interesting. He led a delegation, and they met with Trump at the Bedminster Golf Club in New Jersey. Mm-hmm. And in a way, he indicated that he considers Trump the true president of the United States, which was quite odd, to say the least. He has very bad relations with the Biden administration. Uh-huh. But at the same time, know that in the Republican Party, there are other candidates like DeSantis and also Pence. I can see that Orban and his group might change their alliances, because he already started to indicate that DeSantis and some of his people are talking to him, and also to Pence, who visited Hungary, as you mentioned.
Yeah.
So nothing cast in concrete here.
Nothing's cast, no. I mean, it can swing like a pendulum, I guess.
Yes.
Let me, as a final question, George, you go over there frequently. You have friends over there. You write about it. You speak the language. I know you don't have a crystal ball, but if you were to look out into the future, let's say to the end of the decade, where is Hungary going as a nation? Kind of stuck there in the middle of Eastern Europe between Russia and the NATO powers.
Well, I think Orban is, and his reign, you know, he's in power now 13th year or so, and there are teenagers in Hungary who knew, you know, he was the leader when they were born. I mean, it's an unprecedented length of in government. I think he is over the peak. And the question is, how will he lead? My theory is that within his party, there will be somebody emerging who will, Brutus, who will, you know, sharpening the knife and will get rid of him. And there will be a takeover within his party. This is my theory.
This is the Fidesz party, correct?
This is the Fidesz party. And there will be a kinder, gentler Hungary in that case, moving more towards the conservative side from this far right, outright illiberal rhetoric. I don't think that the Hungarian opposition will be able to pull together and have the strength to win the elections and get rid of Orbanism, so to speak, which ruled Hungary. So there will be a different kind of conservative government in Hungary, and probably it will emerge from his party. I can see in the next 2 to 3 years that might happen.
Well, he's got, close to 3 years left on this fourth
term? On the new term, yes. Well, it will depend now how this Huxit situation works out, whether the EU will continue withholding the funds, which are crucial for Hungary. Hungary has the highest inflation in Europe, and they have the highest interest rates also. So it's very, very in a tough situation, the economy, tough situation. Yeah. So it will be interesting. There will be a change. It's hard to predict. I think it will come within his own party.
Well, George, listen, we are unfortunately running out of time. We'll hopefully revisit this in the future, as the Orban story will likely be with us for a few years to come anyway. Thanks so much for taking time with us today.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Well, that was George Lazar, a writer and thought leader about Viktor Orban, the right-wing movement in Hungary, and its connection to America's conservative right wing. I'm Jim Paymar, and you've been listening to The Big Shift, available wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks so much for listening today, and stay tuned for the next episode of The Big Shift. It's coming soon.